As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoltz. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for the invite.
Well, welcome to Issues 2023. And if my research is correct, you're approaching, 4 years as manager?
That's true, yeah.
What do you think of the job so far?
Well, the first couple of years we were dealing with COVID, but it's a great job. It's a great community. I love what I'm doing, and it's very busy.
Yeah, big challenger for the first 2 years. So what do you think is, overall, what's the toughest part of your job, Tom?
It's just managing right now with the way the economy is going and just our, what's happening with workforce and jobs and trying to keep core mission going. That's the biggest challenge now because of the shakiness of the economy and the inflation rate, et cetera. So we're getting ready to gear up for our 2024 budget discussion, and we'll be talking about workforce again, because in county government, really no matter where you work, and we have over 40 departments or elected offices, no matter where you work, you're in the business of service. And so that service is core to the community. So we'll continue to focus on core services and balancing the budget and trying to keep the engine going.
All right, we're going to get down to some basics on that, but I have one other question for you. What do you like best about being county manager, Tom?
Just something different every day. Steve, I come from a law enforcement background. I spent a bulk of my career in a police department. And one of the things I liked about that job, which is similar to being a government manager, is just every day is different. You just don't know what's going to crop up for the day. It's very busy. It's an every day of the week job. There's weekends and holidays. I find myself, doing county stuff, and I kind of like that. I've always liked that, and my family understands that. I have a great wife, and she understands that. So that's the thing that I like about this job, is it's busy, and it's something different every day.
You know, the county commission has been considering its calendar for the year ahead, and some folks might, that sounds kind of trivial, but, adding any kind of holiday can be an expensive process, I guess. So what do you think is the best path on this, Tom?
Well, that's a topic that's, current now. The commission has gone through, last November, and then it was resurrected here a week or two ago on, how to handle holidays. From a management administrative perspective, I'm just trying to keep the county, and my leadership team is just trying to keep the county in competition with other businesses and governments out there. So, the easiest way to look at it is just what keeps the county consistent with state government, City of Wichita, City of Derby, City of Park City, you know, we just try to make sure that our workers who work very hard for the people of Sedgwick County receive the same kind of benefits as other government workers, and as best we can, private businesses as well. But we know that government's a little bit different. So when you look at it just from that, the concept of bringing back, you know, the president's holiday, which put us up to 11 holidays, keeps us competitive with other peer governments and peer companies. But it is. It's a tough one for the commission because it's a tough decision because essentially you end up adding a holiday. And, you know, there's two ways to look at the cost of that. One is the cost of operation, you know, of the company that day. And the hard dollars on that are between $160,000 and $180,000. And that's for, you know, paying the emergency workers that have to continue working that day. And they would have worked that day, whether it's holiday or not. But the holiday pay and the extra pay that goes with that. But, you know, a day in the life of Sedgwick County to pay workers in the general government fund is, you know, $800,000-$900,000. And commission has to grapple with that. They try to be as cost-conscious as they can. It's taxpayer dollars that we're dealing with here. But at the same time, we have to try to maintain some consistency with what other employers are giving their workers.
The Kansas legislature is in session. I know you're well aware of that up there in Topeka every year this time of year. Now, are you optimistic that they will do something about the mental health challenge in South Central Kansas, which everybody I talk to in local government says that's the biggie. That's the big issue.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, Steve, and I am confident. I think we are rowing on the same side of the boat, and a couple of things that are different in state government now, and it was that way last year, too. This is the first time in a generation that they've had some budget that they could actually work with. There's just been years and years of deficit. And you talk about it a lot, but you never take any action on it because at the end of the day, it comes down to money on some of these issues. And this year they have some budget. You know, we're all trying to row on the same side of the boat here. And there's just a number of operational things going on at the same time with mental health. The biggest thing regarding our state legislation that we're paying attention to is the concept of moving a state mental hospital here in the Sedgwick County region. And the governor's budget last year had $15 million in it, and it seems like it's going to be budgeted again this year. And we're also in the competition for some Spark money for that. So there's a real chance that's going to become a reality, and we've been asking for that for, you know, 10 or 15 years. The sheriff has been asking for that because the goal is to keep, you know, people that need that kind of help out of our jail system and out of our criminal justice system. So I really think we're going to see movement at the state level on our mental health hospital. And that'll be, of course, run by the Kansas Department of Aging and Services. But the county will facilitate the build of it, and we're part of the team on that. And we're trying to shoehorn that into all of the other moving pieces in the world of mental health care now. There's an exciting project going on with KU and WSU regarding a biomed health center in the core of Wichita. That's definitely would help us with workforce and mental health care and public health care in the city. We're having a lot of discussion about a social service hub to facilitate homeless management. That's definitely part of the piece of the puzzle. And then we had budgeted in last year and still have money to resurrect a new ComCare crisis center. Our current crisis center is at 625 North Main, and it's not enough. It's not big enough. It's not comprehensive enough to take care of the needs of this size of a community. So we have money to build a new one. So all of these things are working together, and the opportunity we have in time now is to make them work together as best they can, and that requires a lot of communication with all of these partners. And I feel like we just have a really great momentum going right now, and I think the state is a big part of that. So we'll see how the first quarter of the year goes, the first half of the year, but some of these ideas should be coming to reality in a very short time.
Is the Sedgwick County Jail still the largest facility holding those in need of mental health treatment in the city? Wow. And you look at it to explain to folks who may not get this. Of course, you're from law enforcement. You know that they're seeing people in law enforcement on the streets that really shouldn't be there, and shame in jail, they shouldn't be there. And these are people with mental problems, and they can be very, very dangerous.
Well, you know, by and large, there's clearly too many of these types of folks end up in a criminal justice or jail system. And that is, it's counterproductive. They're not getting any services. They're not getting any assistance. They're being processed through a system that's not geared to give that kind of assistance. So the goal here is to have a system, have an avenue for people who are acting out or committing minor petty crimes because of mental health issues, and keep them out of the justice system and get them into a system where they can receive some help.
What are the issues concerning Sedgwick County in working with the state legislature? You got one or two others, or
we have a platform that we work through. I would say the main thing, our top priorities are support of the KUWSU med campus downtown. Yeah. Of course, our mental health hospital is at the top. We'll pay very close to those issues, and then we have a platform that has some other different kinds of technical issues. There's a lot of discussion now about juvenile justice. We have a commissioner going up Monday to testify on some tweaking of the juvenile system. That we have issues in foster care and management of kids that are getting in trouble, which seems to be on the rise. So there's a lot of legislation that's moving on that. And, of course, we'll be part of that discussion as well.
You're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations. And our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoltz. And what was the annual Christmas tree and wreath recycling program a success this year, Tom?
You know, I believe it was, and Susan Erdenwine, who is our Environmental Services Director, she'll be reporting out to the commission here within a few weeks about recycling and some other programs that she manages from her office, and she'll also be giving us an update on, ozone control and other kinds of environmental issues. But, yeah, I think that her programs are all really successful. All of her electronics recycling and tire recycling and Christmas tree recycling, it's all just so necessary for an urban area like ours. She's very good at her job. And she always gives about twice a year. She'll come into the commission and brief them, and she'll give an update on the success of that program.
What is happening regarding our detention facilities? I mean, there's a lot of public attention after the death of a young man at the juvenile detention center.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
Well, we had a community task force that we rounded up, a group of citizen volunteers, and this is coming around almost to a year ago in March and April and May of last year. And they ended up taking a deep dive into the whole system, and it's everything from foster care forward to law enforcement to juvenile detention and processing. To courts and how kids are managed. And that group came up with over 50 action items that we are, between city and county and state government, are trying to get accomplished. The county this year, and because of the unknown of what that task force is going to come up with, when we went through budget of last year, the commission approved for this year, for 2023, current year, $1 million of contingency to implement programs or facility changes that would be necessary so that we don't have those types of incidents in our facilities again. So there's a lot moving on that. There's a lot legislatively moving on that. We're making some facility physical changes at our Juvenile Intake and Assessment Center. There's been a lot of policy changes. Just unfortunately, it just takes events to learn and get better. And the goal is to try to prevent that type of tragedy again in the future. So there's a lot of moving pieces with that. And our hope is that every one of those 50 recommendations we will implement. Many we already have. But we're going to try to get all of those recommendations implemented within the next few fiscal years to try to manage the system better.
Is the adult jail population still considered overcrowded, Tom?
Always, yeah, always, Steve. It's it's such a challenging time to run a jail with pandemic and all the other things that the sheriff had to put up with over there. But we always are at a point in the jail where every bed is full. We're still moving some of our inmates out to other county jurisdictions to house because we don't have enough room in our jail. And the sheriff works hard with the DA and the court system to try to, you know, keep the people that don't need to be in jail out so we can, have the people in jail who are a true public threat to our community, housed until they are through their court adjudication. But the sheriff does a great job of managing that, but we're always running, and I'm sure everybody's population is today, but we're always running 1,500 to 1,600 people there, and that's pretty much the capacity of Sedgwick County Jail.
Wow. So. Is the county having any luck hiring detention officers now?
You know, I think we're doing better. The commission last year made a real commit. I keep telling people, over the last two budget years, the county has committed $31 million extra dollars to salary. Because in detention and in our corrections department, where there's also a detention component and court service workers, and in other areas, 911 and EMS, fire to some degree, these workers are a premium. So the commission made a real commit to salary on that. And I know the sheriff's doing better. At one point last year, I think he had 110 openings in the jail. I think that's down. But there's never enough detention workers, never enough corrections workers. It's such a challenging field. But it's such a field that, if you really want to make a difference in the community at a grassroots level and make an impact on people's lives and do good, it's such a rewarding career, but it is very difficult. You're dealing with a very difficult population. So, we try to compensate through money and benefits to make it competitive to where young people looking for a career today will migrate toward that. But the sheriff is still very much in need of detention deputies. We're trying to implement some technology over there in the way of camera management and technology management to where it's not so people heavy. He's adding enough cameras over there now to where it will take the place of 24 detention deputies. And the reason we're looking into that is that we just don't have enough bodies. We don't have enough human beings over there working, so we're having to look for technology or other means to manage the jail. And the sheriff's very innovative. He's always looking. He's sharing information with other sheriffs around the country because everybody's in the same boat. This is nothing unique to Sedgwick County or Kansas. This is a shortage across the country for workers that want to do this type of work.
Is the county doing well in hiring and retaining workers overall?
We're doing better. I think we had reached a point in the pandemic year where so many of our people, because remember, we're all in the service industry, and when you have public health issues or economic issues, service of people gets harder. So I think we were hit hardest in our areas that are the direct touch service people, like detention, like EMS, like ComCare, the mental health workers and clinicians that work in that field. That became a hard job, became even harder, and we lost some people, just like school teachers and other components of society that are service-related. There was some people just left those professions, nursing, for example. Some people just left, and we're trying to get them back, and we're trying to get it stabilized. We are better today than we were 2 years ago or even a year ago, but we are still... workforce is still our number one challenge, and when you begin to watch the county budget unfurl this year, that's still going to be the number one issue.
How are things going in your new offices downtown?
We're pretty much finally. It was a transition to get over here. It's very different being out of the courthouse, and you know, sometimes centralization of services leads to efficiency, and so we're getting used to that yet, but we've acclimated over here. This building is very compatible for county government. We have a good commission meeting room that the public has access to. You know, we have administrative offices over here now where I think the public are finding their way here. So it's a great temporary solution, and that's one of the things we'll be talking about very soon in a couple of weeks. So administratively now, where do we go next? We anticipate leasing space here for probably 2 years, but we'll need a long-term fix on what happens with county administration, where it goes, and we'll be having that discussion. The commission will be wrangling that discussion here over the next couple of weeks.
Looking back over the experience of the pandemic, what's the biggest lesson that you're taking away from dealing with that COVID pandemic, Dom?
Well, you know, just to try to be better and more prepared. Yeah, I just don't know of any way anybody could be prepared for that type of a pandemic. You know, we practiced and we thought we were ready, but and it's just the spinoffs of not just in addition to just being sick. I mean, to having a society that is struggling with public health. It's all of the ancillary economic impacts that kind of phenomena has. And I think some of the economy we're still feeling today, when you run into 8-9% inflation rates and just shortages of goods and shortages of things that we have all for our lives taken for granted, you know, hand sanitizers and personal protective equipment that we just couldn't find. And to this day, there's still supply chain issues, and I think you can talk to any business or particularly developers and builders. There's still supply chain issues of getting materials. The costs have gone up. So it's not just the pandemic. It's all of the spinoff ancillary types of challenges that a pandemic has caused for us. And I think the learning lesson is to try to do better, try to prepare our government, try to prepare our society and our businesses for if and when it happens again. You know, all the data you read, all the journals you read make it seem like it's inevitable that we'll go through something like this again. And I think it's our responsibility as this current generation to make sure that the next generation and the next people that have to deal with will be better prepared.
Winter is upon us, and we can anticipate more nasty weather, I think, for the remainder of winter. Is your maintenance department ready to deal with the ice and snow? Are they ready to rock and roll with anything?
Oh, yeah. The county public works people are ready. They always have great plans. They have the right amount of equipment. They anticipate, you know, with, you know, pretreatments and things of that nature. City of Wichita also has a great group, so you know, if the storms, if they stay normal, I think we're well positioned. And so far this winter, I think they've done a very good job. And, you know, just a few more weeks and then we can look forward to something else.
What's the most important accomplishment that you would like to see for the county in 2023?
I'd really like to see us solve this mental health puzzle. And all of the moving pieces that I spoke about before, I really hope that we can have a really great collaboration. We can put egos aside and really create a system here to where people that live and work in and around the Sedgwick County region, and this goes to counties outside of Sedgwick, that they have a really good health system. And this is for when you have, you know, the sicknesses, the normal sicknesses, and also when there are mental health challenges, that we have a really robust system that's easy to manage and navigate, that we hope it's one of the best in the country, and that we have a workforce ready to take on those kinds of challenges. I think, you know, we've had challenges here in the past. We still to this day have nursing challenges, and on the medical side and on the mental health side, we have some clinician shortages. We got to shore those workforces up, and I really hope we have an opportunity here through some state money and some federal monies to stand up this system that then we have to maintain into the future. And I'm really hoping that 2023 is the year that process stands up, and I think we have the elected officials in place at the city and county and state level to make this happen. There's a really good synergy. Everybody's talking. There's good communication, and I'm hoping by the end of the year that we still see some real fruits of that effort.
Tom, thanks as always for spending a little time with us for the Issue Show. We always get good information from you, and good luck to all the folks out the county. And yeah, maybe we can make this a year, 2023, a really good year for the year ahead.
I hope so. Thank you for the time, Steve.
That's all right. Our guest is Sedgwick County Manager Tom Stoltz. And, of course, he's been county manager, so it's about 4 years now. That's all for this edition of Issues 2023. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.